reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said of Jesus, "He is possessed by Beelzebul. By the prince of demons he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he can't stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said he is an unclean spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
The Holy Gospel, take away our sins. We're in the seventh day of the octave of Christian unity. And I think that this octave is one of the things that must please the Lord most and for which he most longs, because it was his heartfelt prayer to the Father during the first Mass. And in today's Gospel, we see crucial principles that help us to recognize the importance of what we're doing. Jesus said, "A kingdom divided against itself, a house divided against itself, can't stand." Without unity, the church limps in carrying out the Christ's mission. We know that the kingdom inaugurated by the Lord Jesus will never fall. But in terms of the kingdom of God coming fully among us, one of the reasons why that kingdom is so retarded in its arrival is because we Christians fight so much against ourselves that we forget who the real enemy is. The real enemy is the one who wants to divide us, Beelzebul. Beelzebul, the devil, Satan, wants to keep us from that union that Christ himself so very much prayed for. So we need to focus anew with prayer and fasting, not just during this octave, but especially during this octave, to pray for what the Lord insistently prayed for. The only reason why his prayer that we be one, as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, that our unity be greater than our individuality, our unity in love, the only reason why that hasn't come about is not because God the Father doesn't hear Jesus' prayer. It's not because God isn't omnipotent. It's because we haven't freely cooperated with that plan. We haven't made the Savior's intention our own. Today, we celebrate the feast of someone who did. St. Francis de Sales was born about the time of the Protestant Reformation. And his father, who was a nobleman, had a great career planned for his son. Got him one of the greatest educations that money could buy at his time. He received his law degree barely after his 20th birthday. He came by, and his dad, who was very powerful, had arranged him a spot on the Senate in the kingdom in which they were living. But Francis de Sales had a call to be a priest, and his father was totally resisting until one of his uncles on his mother's side, who was the vicar general of the Diocese of Annecy, arranged for him right off, based off his ordination, to become a prestigious priest, a canon of the cathedral, and the vicar general himself. The father was somewhat mollified that at least his son would be an important priest. And so there he was ordained and he took up his duties. 9 months in, though, the bishop of Geneva, who was based in Annecy because he was driven out by the Calvinists, was asking for volunteers among his entire presbyterate to go and try to win back the Chablais, that region of France in the eastern, southeastern mountains closest to Geneva, Switzerland, that had totally gone over to the Calvinists. And the bishop didn't hide what the priests already knew, that that was going to be an incredibly difficult assignment and they may end up dead. But he asked for some people with real zeal, with heroism, with the desire to bring the gospel to those people and bring them back to union. He asked for volunteers. He didn't get any. He asked a second time. Not one priest had the guts to step up and say, I will do this for the Lord. Finally, Francis de Sales, knowing that he would alienate his father, stepped forward and said at 27, Excellency, I would be happy to go if you think I'm capable. And there he went alone. Many times he had to hide in the military garrisons because people were trying to ambush him on the road. One night, much colder than the one we experienced last night, he had to spend it up in a tree because they sent some ferocious dogs to try to hunt him down and eat him alive. He had doors slammed in his face throughout the whole region. He became the patron saint of journalists because he realized that if people were slamming the doors in his face, he might be able to get through to him by writing these little pamphlets on the faith about the truths of the faith, about what the Lord wants, about how Calvinists have gone into error on these points. Slowly, he began to win the converts one by one. And over the course of about 15 years, he brought 72,000 people back himself to the faith. He fought for the unity for which Christ prayed. And he's an incredible hero for us. There are so many who are divided. Let's first start by the people who are still Catholic, who have divided themselves from the communion of the faith by their own choice. Got in an interesting debate yesterday with a Boston Globe columnist who wrote a column basically faulting the Diocese of Springfield, Massachusetts, for not giving an award to a woman who never goes to Mass as a distinguished alumnus of Cathedral High School. And I tried to help this reporter to see that the church 70 times, seven times, needs to evaluate, no matter what else a woman does. If she doesn't come to Mass, she's not living by Catholic values. I think the reporter, by the end of a few emails, started to see the point of the church. But we've got so many women like this Kathy in this column who are divided from the church, divided explicitly by Beelzebul, who's throwing in them, you've got an excuse not to come. We need to go out, and their number is legion of people that the Lord wants back. And once we get our own house in order, then we'll be able to have a unity to try to bring all our separated brothers and sisters back into unity. This is what the Lord wants. And every time we pray, thy will be done, without wanting this will to be done, we're lying. The great source of our unity is the Eucharist. That sacrifice, not made by human hands, that the letter to the Hebrews talks about in our first reading. Christ has pierced the veil of the sanctuary where he offers one sacrifice. We unite ourselves with that one sacrifice. We ask him for the courage and the zeal of St. Francis de Sales so that we might bring all God's people to the sacrifice here on earth, so that with all God's people we might defeat the devil, defeat his plan for division, and come united across that veil with Christ before the heavenly altar.